power and the love of God. Amen. Let's sing this little song together and join our hearts in worship and lift his name this glorious morning. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed and renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in you, that I found in you, Lord. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away by the power of your love. Hold me close and let your love song, musicians. God is good. Well, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, oh, his light will shine. God is good. Oh, yes, God is good. All the time. And if you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Well, do not fear, for he will guide you. Oh, he will keep you safe and sound. Oh, he has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and his word is good. time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Sinners, so unworthy, and yet for us he chose to die. He filled us with his Holy Spirit so we can stand and testify. Oh, that his love is everlasting, and his mercies, well, they will. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, oh, his light will shine. God is good, oh, God is good all the time. Praise him, church. Hallelujah. Since Jesus came into my heart, let's sing that song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, oh, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy, oh, my soul, like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have ceased from my wandering and going astray. Jesus came into my heart. My sins, which were many, they're all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy, oh, my soul, like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure. Since Jesus came into my heart, oh, since Jesus came into my heart, hey, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy, oh, my soul, like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart, and there's a light in that valley of death now for me. Since Jesus came into my heart, and the gates of the city beyond I can see. Since Jesus came into my heart, oh, since Jesus came into my heart, hey, since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy, oh, my soul, like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, oh, I shall go there to dwell in that city I know. Since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, oh, since Jesus came into my heart. I saw my name in that book of redemption. Since I saw my name in that book, I have a redeemer now with Christ my redeemer. Since I saw my name in the book, see it again now. Since I saw my name in the book of redemption. Since I saw my name in that book. Since I saw my name in the book, well, I've been changed, I've been reborn now, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has his way, all my life, praise God, has been changed, oh, I've been changed.
Sing that song, Do You Want to Know Where I'm Going?
Well, do you want to know where I'm going?
Come on, sisters.
Where I'm going soon. Anybody ask you where I'm going? Where I'm going to, hey, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Yonder to be
heartache it brings, the comfort of knowing I'll soon be gone. And as God gives me grace, I'm gonna run the race until I see my Savior face to face. Softly, we'll just take these needs to the Lord this morning. We have many that we want to be praying for. Certainly, forefront in our minds is Sister Connie Hughes, praying for her as she's recovering and just went through a terrible ordeal. Praying for Brother Troy, what he's going through as well. So let's hold them up in our prayers. We really need a touch from the Lord. Keep the drums in your prayers. Also, we're praying for Brother Andrew Coffey and Sister Rebecca. Sister Rebecca, just as you all know, her father passed away suddenly. Very tragic. Just hardly even know what to say. Just certainly praying for them in that situation. And only God can bring that peace to a person's grieving soul. Praying for Brother Keith, always praying for Brother Keith. God would touch him, his situation. And we're certainly praying for Brother Richard Smith with what he was going through as well. If you remember Brother Barry Coffey in your prayers, he's traveling. Certainly, I think he'll be at the funeral. Sister Rebecca and Brother Andrew and them. So we want to keep them in your prayers. And also have... this is from Sister Crystal. Remember Harris Hans in prayer. Pardon. Remember Hans in prayer. He's not feeling well today. And also, if you remember my daughter Caitlin, she's also not feeling well. Amen. Brother Johnny, would you come and take these needs to the Lord for us, brother? Amen. And if you have a special need on your heart, amen, you can raise your hands. And know that God sees your need before you ever even had that problem. He has the answer, friend. Come on, Brother Johnny.
Let us bow our head to our wonderful Lord. We come to you today, Lord, with our hearts heavy. For many of us, Lord, that are sick and afflicted, Lord, and in need. We mention names, Lord, but you know the souls, you know the hearts, you know their bodies, Lord. Only you can provide what each one needs, Lord. We're dependent on you for everything. You are the only balm in this evil world, Lord. We pray that your word would work mightily in us, Lord. Give us the faith to believe in each of your promises. For each one that wanted to be your Lord and couldn't, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would anoint their souls, Lord, and anoint the word that they hear. We just love you, Lord, and we're so thankful to you for not just our lives, Lord, but our heavenly home, our future body, Lord. We thank you for the ministry that you sent among us, Lord, and we pray that the word will be dwell in our hearts, Lord, today and grow and help us come to that final peak of so that we can come and be with you, Father. We thank you and we ask your blessings upon each one, Lord, each need. May you meet it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can have your seats, friends. Brother Keith has a special for us. Who's happy to be here this morning? Because Brother Jaron asked that earlier and I almost fell off my organ bench. I didn't see many smiles. I didn't hear many hellos. I don't see how you can sit there and sing "How Great Is Our God" and you trip on your lip when you go out the door back there. I was asked to sing this song about 3 or 4 weeks ago, somewhere in there, but I didn't have the energy to do it. I just couldn't do it. I'll be honest with you, I don't have the energy this morning to do it according to my flesh, plus I'm just coming off a battle with strep throat. But I sat there this morning and I was thinking about it, and I just had to stand up and I had to shake my fist, and I said, "Satan, you are not getting this victory. You've battled me for 2.5 years. You may battle me till we leave this place." Now, I'm not going to fuss at y'all this morning. I know everybody's having their battles, and everybody here is not Messiah. Everybody here is not good old Southern Mississippi or whatever. I get that. We got a lot of vanilla flavor here. But you know how you can worship? You can worship with that smile. At least show the devil that you're not giving up. He can't read what's up here in here, but he can sure read your emotions and he can drag you down. So pick that lip up this morning. Look that devil straight in the face with me and tell him, say, "Oh, I'm not giving up. Amen. Oh, I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday, oh, I'll keep holding on to His nail-scarred hand. Oh, no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on." Now, I know you all have been right here. I've been walking through the valley, this veil of tears. Times I've even questioned, even if my Lord was near. And many times that old tempter, he says, "Why don't you turn around? Can't you see you can't get any farther? Oh, you're just losing ground." But I stand up and say, I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning round. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday, oh, I'm going to keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Oh, no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. Would you mind to tell me there's been something bothering me? Why is it that old devil, he just won't let God's children be? Many times he has purposed and determined to get in my way. He tries to turn me away from this life and lead my soul astray. Oh, but I'm not giving up. How many's not giving up? Oh, I'm not turning round. Oh, by the grace of God, I'm
someday I'm gonna keep a holding on, oh, to that nail scarred hand. Oh no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on. I just wanna sing that first verse again. You see, I've been walking through a valley. How many's been there? Through this fill of tears. Times I've even questioned, even if my Lord was near. Many times that old Satan has said, why not turn around? You can't get any farther. I love this right here. I tell him, you're just a losing ground, because I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday I'm going to keep a holding on, oh, to that nail-scarred hand. Oh, no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going. Oh, won't you just stand and say it in his face this morning? I'm not giving up. Hallelujah. No, I'm not turning around. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday I'm gonna keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Oh no, I'm not giving up. No, I'll keep going on.
Words back up. We ain't done with that song.
Well, I'm not giving up. No, I'm not turning back. By the grace of God, I'll wear a shining crown. Someday, well, I'll keep holding on, yeah, to that nail-scarred hand. I'm not giving up. No, turning round, yeah. By the grace of God, I wear a shining crown. Someday I'll keep holding on to that nail-scarred hand. Turning round, and by the grace of God, I will wear a shining crown. Someday will I keep a holding on, oh, to that nail-scarred head.
How it gets any better than that, friends. Not gonna give up. Thank you, Brother Keith. My goodness, that's powerful. My, I don't think any more better could be said. Brother Aaron, why don't you come on out? We're gonna sing a song as Brother Aaron brings the word to us this morning. I'm excited to see what God has in store. Amen. I believe we gave the devil a black eye today, brother. Amen. And to put it in Brother Keith's words, let's sing that song, The Goodness of God. Amen. Do you love him for his goodness? Let's sing that.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head,
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, yeah. All my life you have been faithful. Oh, and all my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I make, I will see of the goodness of God.
Let's pause for just a second, musicians. Play that softly. Brother Ethan, if you'll just pray over the needs this morning.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Lord, we just ask that you step down, Lord, and speak to the minister, to each heart, Lord, and just ask that you bless this service, bless this offering. We ask in Jesus' name.
Keep singing that. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest days, you've been close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. Oh, yeah. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am
for a word of prayer. If you have a need, you can show by raising your hand. Heavenly Father, through all our life, you have indeed been faithful, Lord. We see your faithful every day, Lord, through the rising of the sun and the setting thereof. We see your faithfulness, Lord, this morning when we see Brother Mike Pritchard coming out of surgery in our midst this morning. We see your faithfulness, Lord. Many testimonies, many praise reports, Lord God, that are in our midst. We are so grateful, Lord, that we can call upon a God who is living. We can call upon a God who sympathizes and who knows what we go through. This morning, Father, we raise our hands to Thee, Lord. A God who is able to defend, a God that is able to save, a God that is able to heal the sick and the afflicted, a God who became man so that he can know what we go through. He understands what we face every day. He understands what it means to be a young man, to be a young man, to be an old man. He understands all of that. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that this morning you are a faithful high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, your people are here this morning, Lord. Pour out our praise before your throne, Lord. May you accept us, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to pray, Lord, remembering the sick and the afflicted. Oh God, some that cannot be here this morning. We think of Sister Connie Hughes, Lord. May you just oh God, stretch your hand and heal and touch her body, Father. May you restore, oh God, anything that may be broken this morning. We thank you for Sister Carrie Whitlock, who is here today. Father, just the strength that you have given her to go through this, Father. We are asking, Lord, for a total and complete deliverance. We know that it is the devil, and we rebuke the enemy in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for Brother Richard Smith. We thank you for healing and for undertaking for him. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for many other requests that have not been read. We know, oh God, that your all-seeing and all-knowing eye is upon, Lord God, your people. Be with us as we go into the reading of your word. Lord Jesus, we want to remember our pastor as he travels back. May you just protect and guide him. We thank you this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. We greet you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have you turn your Bibles whilst we have you standing, and then that way we can sit down at the same time. Thank you so much, musicians. That was so wonderful. I thought Brother Jeremy could have just continued, you know. You know, it's good, you know, coming in an atmosphere like this. It makes it easy to preach, but it also puts you under so much pressure. You know, it's like being given a baton, pretty hot. And you can't slow the team down. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go to Psalms chapter 91. So happy to have Brother Mike Pritchard back in our midst. Isn't God wonderful this morning? Praise the Lord. We also have Sister Carrie. I'm not sure where she's sitting at, but we certainly have happy to have her and the family in the house of the Lord. It's just wonderful to be in the presence of God. You know, when you miss church a few times, then you begin to understand that how wonderful it is. It's just such a joy and a privilege. All right, if you have it, say amen. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror that comes by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. May God add the blessing to the reading of his word. You may have your seat. As you might be aware, Brother Barry could not be here this morning. He traveled up to Canada traveled with Brother Andrew Coffey. I think he mentioned on a Wednesday that Andy's wife, Becky, lost her father in Edmonton, Canada. So he went to Arizona, drove up, and he sent a picture in the men's chat. I've never seen so much rough conditions, right? Just the wind and the snow. I said, hey, I sympathize and pray for you. I love snow, but not that kind of snow. So he said to me this morning, he thought he was going to be here like maybe 10:30, but turns out he's going to be, you know, around 4 p.m. So we pray for his travel mercies, and we definitely miss him when he's away. Hopefully everything goes well, and we're praying for the family. I think Sister Becky said the burial is likely going to be next week, Saturday, in Edmonton. So we definitely want to keep them in prayer. All right, so we want to talk about abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. But maybe before we get into our sermon, we want to just comment a little bit on the events that are surrounding us this hour. I feel like it's very, very important for us to talk about these things. Obviously, we live in a time of algorithms, amen? You know, when you have algorithms, right, there's just so much news. And, you know, it's like when there was a Ukrainian war, everybody became an expert in the Donbas politics and in the East Ukraine politics. And then there was a Gaza conflict, and everybody became an expert in the Middle East, right? So now everybody is an expert in the Iranian conflict, Middle East, the Strait of Hormuz. I was looking in the minister's WhatsApp group, and some were even making fun. They said, you know what, I'm going to preach about Strait is the Gate, and my subtitle will be the Strait of Hormuz. Why? Because whenever there's something, you know, you get bombarded by a lot of information. And sometimes, you know, you get lost in all that. You know, we kind of like not see the bigger picture. But sometimes I feel like as ministers, we don't want to be, you know, obviously get caught up in the politics of the day or in the events of the day. But it behooveth us also to tell the people, younger generation, where we are, what that means for us from a Bible perspective. Amen. As we always say that we are not, don't get caught up in the politics of things. Anything can be politicized. I remember when we had Cyclone Helene, right? That was politicized. You know, people say, oh, FEMA this, FEMA that. So anything can be politicized, but you don't want to get caught up in the politics of things. You want to, as a Christian, you want to look at things through the lens of the Bible. Our approach to conflicts, to, you know, we look at it through the conflict of the Bible. Yes, we support Israel. Yes, you know, we can be called Zionists, but we are not the political Zionists. Amen. We are, you know, Christian Zionists from the Bible perspective, in that we believe in the right of Israel to exist. And we believe that God promised the land of Israel to Abraham and to his seed. That's what we believe. Amen. And because of that, we stand with Israel. Praise the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we have to stand with every person who calls themselves a Jew. Some of them are unconverted. Some of them are as heathen as you can think of, right? So standing with Israel doesn't mean you have to support every little thing that every Jewish person does or everything that happens in the Middle East. We look at things from a biblical perspective. Like, for example, I stand for Christians. It doesn't mean I support everyone who holds the Bible. Some of them don't have good intentions. Some of them are running cults. Some of them are doing some very evil things. Now, I'm not responsible for that. Neither do I support every action that is taken by Christians. But if you ask me broadly, do I stand with Christians? Yes. I stand with Christians when they are persecuted in Sudan or in Iraq or in, you know, in the Middle East or in China. I stand with Christians because that's the right thing according to the Bible. You stand with God's people. But we all know that not every Christian is a what? Is a Christian. So when we say we stand with Israel, people get so politically charged. Oh, do you support killing children? Do you support this? I don't support the political things. We support Israel from a biblical standpoint. Because those are God's chosen people. And we know that right now Israel is not converted. How many knows that? That Israel will be converted when Moses and Elijah preached the gospel. And 144,000 received the Holy Ghost. So definitely, I'm not saying everything that they are doing is right. They are not a converted nation. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, but they are God's people. And we respect that. Amen. We respect that. Praise the Lord. So, because that's what the Bible tells us. Now, they will make mistakes. We as Americans, we make mistakes, but you know what? We still love our country. Amen. We still love our country. We have a duty to stand for our country, for what we believe in, for our principles, right? We have made many mistakes throughout history, but we still love our country. The good, the bad, you know what? That's still our country. So that's the same way with Israel. They're not perfect, right? That's why God scattered them all over the world, right? But you know what? They're still God's people, and we stand with them. Now, in the Middle East, there's this big war, you know, between Israel, America, and Iran. Now, the prophet tells us that Israel is God's timepiece. Whenever something happens in the Middle East concerning Israel, we have to pay our attention to that. Now, I know that, you know, we've been through a lot of things, right? We've seen the Cold War. We have seen the Vietnamese War. We've seen the Korean War. I think people get used to conflict. But we must always remember that we are living in the last days. And we call ourselves end-time message believers because we believe that God works through dispensations. And we believe that we are in the last dispensation. We believe that we are living in the time of the coming of the Lord. Amen. So when we see things that speak about the end times, we should not just brush through them. We should definitely pay attention to them. However, like I always say, we are not a doomsday cult. You know, don't go also to that other extreme where everything is about end time. You know, everything, you want to be, like as Brother Barry calls it, a prepper, right? You know, build your bunker, buy all the toilet paper, as people here love to do when there's a store, which I'll never understand, right? It's like people buy a ton of bread. And I was like, on a diet, I was like, I'm gonna stop eating bread. But as soon as I heard that there's going to be a snowstorm, I said, no, I'm going to take a pause and buy as much bread as I want. You know, because you know what? We live under influence. So before you know it, you are just buying bread and toilet paper and a lot of food. And I was happy at least we got some inches of snow. That way I didn't have, you know, just calories for nothing. Praise the Lord. So there's this conflict that is happening in the world. So Israel, whenever Israel is involved, it's very significant. Because God works with Israel, and Israel is our timepiece. Now, God, if you read, why do we treat Israel different apart from the rest of the world? Now, I'm going to just do this real quickly for the young people. If you read the Bible in the book of Romans, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, Paul talks about Israel. Israel has a slightly separate covenant than the rest of the nations. Israel is God's chosen nation, naturally. God loves us as Gentiles, individually. Praise the Lord. He has got children in Ireland. He's got children in Zimbabwe. But in terms of nations, there's only one nation that God chose, and that nation is Israel. And Paul talks about it in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. And if you read the seals, the church ages, Brother Branham explains it more. That will give you an understanding where Israel is. And the prophet will tell you that the Bible says, all Israel shall be saved. And God, throughout all the ages, although he has scattered them, he has left a remnant because God does not break away from his covenant. Praise the Lord. So the Jews have a covenant with God because God chose Israel. Now, God deals with us slightly different than the way he deals with Israel. Israel, to them, as Paul says, it belongs to the law, the temple, the land. It's a natural church. They fight natural battles. Everything about them is natural. Even their riches are natural. Most of the top financial people are Jews, right? They have a natural blessing. They believe in a natural land. And their way of approaching God is somehow natural. But we, on the other side, we have a spiritual land. We have a spiritual Jerusalem. We don't have a physical land that we are fighting for to worship God. We can worship God everywhere because you know what? We need to worship God here or in the mountain. But we worship God in spirit and in truth. So you must understand that God works with dispensations. That's number one. Number two, God deals with Israel differently than the way he deals with us Gentiles. So, why did God choose that? That's none of our business. Because God is sovereign. We can never ask God why. God does what he wants. Praise the name of the Lord. So then, we find this conflict that is happening in the Middle East. Now, we go to the Bible. What did our Lord say in Matthew chapter 24? He says, "Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." He's talking about wars. He's talking about the last days. He's coming, right? And he says, "There shall be famines." Now, famines can represent natural droughts, right? Like you find sometimes in third world countries. Here, we don't have natural droughts, but we also have our famines. How many knows that? If you go and read, below the news, you'll find that there are many people who go to food banks. So you can argue that there are some people who also go without food. And we in the Western world, sometimes we don't go through like a hard famine, like maybe in Somalia or some other country. But we also go through our recessions. Those are also kind of like famines in a way, where the market just crashes. And we've had, the last crash was 2008. We don't know when the next one will come, where people just lose their money. You know, they can pay off their debt. In a way, that's also a famine. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says there shall be famines and there shall be pestilences. We had a pestilence recently. It was called what? COVID-19. So we are in a cycle of what? Of wars, of famines, of pestilences. Because these things were prophesied that they would come in the last days. And these things will intensify as we go towards the tribulation. But thankfully, you and me are not going to be here. We will be in the rapture when all these things happen. Amen. So everything that is happening is not happening just because of, you know, any conspiracy theory. It's because that's what the Bible says. Amen. So we can blame this one or that one. That's fine. But guess what? It's something that God says is going to happen. Why? Because we have gotten away from God. And he says there shall be earthquakes. You know, you can call it climate change. You can call it anything you want. You can call it, you know, I don't know, global warming. You can call it tectonic movements. But it's a prophecy in diverse places. And here Jesus Christ said, and these are the beginning of sorrow. So if you read the Greek word sorrows, it actually means birth pains. In other words, something is giving way to something. The church has to be born. Amen. Israel has to be born as a nation. You know, everything has, you know, we have run for like 6,000 years. We have gone through a lot. But something has to give in. So all these conflicts, everything that is happening is to give in to a new world. Is to give in and usher in a new kingdom. So everything that we are seeing is a beginning of birth pains. Praise the Lord. So the end of these things is not going to be a world where we have a new president who is very conservative and he will give us peace and he will settle all the wars. That's not going to happen. Matter of fact, the Bible says, when they shall say peace, peace, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. There will come a time where we will think that, oh, we've got a peacetime president. We've got, you know, the Pope is working together with our president. Everything is okay. Then, you know what? Sudden destruction comes. Praise the Lord. And I also read this scripture. Then, you know, I'll switch back to my sermon. Revelation chapter 6, verse 7. How many knows that this is the fourth horse rider, which is the time that we're living in? The Bible says, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. It was a mixture of all the other horses. And his name that said on him was called what? Death. So the last enemy is death. So you find that there is so much death in these last days because of this pale horse. And the Bible says hell followed him. And power was given him over the fourth part of the earth. Number one, to what? To kill with a sword. What is a sword? It's conflict. What is a sword? It's wars, right? And with hunger, right? We spoke about famine. And with death and with the beasts of the earth. So because of the influence of this pale horse rider, you see all these things happen. Now, you can waste your time and say, oh, I blame this president. I blame this politician. You are just wasting your time. All of these things are happening because of these scriptures. And the fourth horse rider is called death. That's why you have got such powerful spirits in these last days. It's like I said the other time, if you slip and you get into drugs, pretty much if God doesn't help you strongly, you're going to die. You just destroy yourself until you die. You know, we have such strong addictions that are very difficult for people to get out of. Why? Because we're under the influence of what? Of the pale horse rider. You've got things that want to kill you. You know, back then, you know, you could fool around with things and still be all right. But now you can't. You know, if you get into, I don't know, any kind of addiction, pretty much many times, you know, it's very hard to come back. It will take a lot of grace to bring you back because of the strong hand of the pale horse rider. That's why it's hard for us to stay out of wars. Whether it's a Democrat, Republican, why? Because there is a pale horse rider. And he has been given power with a sword. So even if you say, you know what, we want peace, somehow we can't help ourselves. Yeah. I asked today, ChatGPT, I said, how many countries are in war right now? He says, as of early 2026, there are 56 active conflicts worldwide. And the highest number since World War II. Over 30 countries are directly experiencing war within their borders, with up to 92 countries involved in internationalized conflicts outside of their borders. Major conflicts include Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, and intensified tension in the Middle East. So in a way, you could say we are in a world war, but the question is it the last one? We don't know. But you can't argue that we are kind of almost like in a world war, because you know what? America is in a conflict. Russia is in a conflict. Ukraine is in a conflict. Israel is in a conflict. And the conflict is affecting everyone. Amen. And they say China is supplying this one. Korea is sending soldiers to Ukraine. So in a way, we may not realize it, but we are almost in like world war conditions. Now, is this the Armageddon? Probably not. Maybe that, you know, it won't happen until we get out of here. But we have to be conscious of these things. France is sending, you know, their carrier right to the Middle East. England is also sending, right? All these countries, somehow the Gulf countries have been involved in this conflict. So you see that when the Bible talks about the Armageddon, that all nations will come and fight Israel, it's not too far from us. It's not something that will just, you know, be so remote. It's something that can happen anytime. And we as the end time believers must be aware of these things. And we must take stock of our life to say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to be ready. If you are coming, I want to be ready for your coming. Lord, if the rapture is going to happen today, I want to go in the rapture. If you're going to come tomorrow, I want to be ready. Don't just read headlines. Read the Bible and say, Lord, make me ready for your coming. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. All these things are speaking of the coming of the Lord. But the devil is very smart. You know, if you want to slaughter a cow or a chicken or an animal, sorry, animal lovers, you want to make sure that the animal doesn't realize it's going to go into the slaughter, because it will get a lot of tension and the meat won't be as nice, right? So that's what the devil does. You know, he will tantalize people with jokes, and people don't even wake up to these things. Amen. Anyway, going back to our sermon, we want to talk about being in the presence of the Lord. We read in Psalms here, I won't be long, don't worry, I preached for 1 hour, I preached the message of the hour. The Bible says, he that abides in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The shadow, being under the shadow of the Almighty is being in the presence of God. Now, this has really struck me when Brother Barry mentioned it last service. And he says, you know what? When we come together, we are just in the presence of God and something happens. And it really struck me because, you know what? That is exactly what the Bible teaches. And that is exactly true. Why? Because when you are in the presence of God, whether you are conscious of it or not, there are things that happen in the presence of God that do not happen outside. Praise the name of the Lord. And here in Exodus, the Bible says, and all the people saw the cloud and pillar and the stand of the tabernacle and worshipped every man in his tent door. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou says unto me, bring up these people, and thou shalt let me know who thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name. Thou hast also found grace in thy sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So Moses is saying to God, show me your glory, that I may know your way. So there's a connection between the presence of God and the way of God. You can never know God's way unless you dwell in his presence. You can know the scriptures mentally. You can know the Bible by memorizing it. But you can never know it by revelation unless you come in his presence. And Moses is saying, you want me to go with these people, but I want to go with your presence. And God says, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. And I want you to understand that the presence of God gives you rest. The presence of God gives you rest. Why do these nations have American bases? You know what? They want rest. Saudi Arabia sleeps well at night because, you know what? They have an American base inside of their country. They said, if they know if anything happens, We've got some people that will help us to fight. Why does UAE go to sleep at night? Because you know what? They have an American base. That just think about, these are Gentile nations. And they are at rest because they know we have an American base. How about you and me when we know that God's presence is with us? Amen. It ought to give us rest. Yes. To know that, you know what, even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, as long as God's presence is with me, I am okay. Amen. Because sometimes God takes away our problems. But sometimes God gives us strength to endure through the problems. Amen. Because you know what, he goes with us sometimes through those trials. And when he goes with us through those trials, it gives us rest and comfort. Sometimes, you know, we feel like, you know what, I just want this problem to go. And I agree with that. But you know what? We can never wear a crown unless we fight. We can never wear a crown of life unless we carry a cross of Christ. But how do we fight and how do we go through the cross? We go through Jesus Christ. The modern day Christianity is, everything is about, you know, roses and beautiful things and just like teenage, you know, dating stuff. You know, it's like, you know, you are too blessed to be stressed. You are anointed. You are highly exalted. That's great. I believe those scriptures. But Christianity really is kind of more real than that. Christianity has ups and downs. Christianity has trials. Christianity has tribulation. Christianity has a cross. Christianity has got things, sometimes, you know, mind battles. Sometimes Christianity has, you know, you go through sickness sometimes. Sometimes you go through anxiety. Sometimes you go through wandering. Sometimes you go through, but you know what? Throughout all that journey, God sometimes goes with you. All the time, actually, God goes with you. And when you come to the end of that trial, God gives you a reward. And what makes you endure is God who walks with you through that trial. Amen. So sometimes, you know, each and every one of us, I know we have got something that we have to go through. And that's okay, because you know what? God is with us. So we want to be conscious of his presence when we go through those trials. Amen. And here he says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hither. In other words, if your presence is not with us, there's no point of us going through this exodus. Because Moses knew that whatever I face, as long as God is with me, I am okay. That is the most important thing for a Christian. It's not what you have, it's who are you with. I would rather be without money but with Christ. I'd rather we be without a house but with Christ. I'd rather be without a job but with Christ. Rather than to have all the world and not have Christ. There was a singer who once said, you can have all the world, but only just give me Jesus. He says, only give me Jesus. Because he knew, as long as I have Jesus, I have everything that I need. And Moses said, for wherein shall I be known that thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou hast given us, nor shall we be separate? And verse 7, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he says, I beseech thee now, show me thy glory. And he says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim my name before thee. So Moses is pleading with God, and he says, if you really love me, show me your glory. Now, that's a hard thing, right? Because nobody has ever seen God, and nobody could have ever seen God in the Old Testament. Moses was a prophet, and he would talk to God face to face, but the Bible says that he has never seen God. And he says, now, I want to see your glory. And you know what God said to Moses? You can read when you go back. He says, nobody can see me and live. But what I can do is, there is a place by me where you can stand. And I will put my hand upon you. And I will cause my glory to pass before you. So there is a place spiritually where you can stand and you can see the glory of God. There is a place where you can meet God and commune with him. In the Old Testament, they could not see God face to face. Because God could not be seen face to face.
And Moses, as much as he was close to God, he could not see God face to face. So God took him and he put his hand, in other words, his power upon him. And the glory of God passed before Moses. And Moses said, I saw the back of a man. So God, Moses saw a preview of what God looks like. That God looks like a man. But he did not see God face to face. God had a wonderful relationship with Moses. But there are two things that Moses never had. Number one, he never saw God face to face, according to the scripture. Yes, the Bible says he was speaking with God face to face. That's figuratively speaking. Number two, Moses never entered into the promised land. How many knows that? But because God is faithful, when you read Matthew chapter 17, what happens? As they were praying, Jesus Christ was transfigured. And who appeared in the promised land? There was Moses and Elijah. So Moses did not enter the promised land here, but God takes him many years after in the promised land. And who was speaking to Moses face to face? It was Jesus. Because before Jesus, no man had seen God face to face. But when Jesus came, the Bible says, we have seen him, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. So when Jesus Christ was manifested, God was seen in the flesh. And for the first time, angels saw the face of God. So Moses then was able to see the face of God face to face hundreds of years later. That will tell you that, you know what, God may say no today, but later on, he will always remember you. He will always remember you. The presence of God is everything. So Moses is a revelation that if I'm to be successful, I must have God's presence. You know, I'll tell you something. That yesterday we went out with my wife and we had a caregiver. And one thing I love about America is that there's always an app for everything. One immigrant told me here when I was new, he says, Brother Aaron, if you're struggling with something, there's something that you don't know. And I've kind of like learned that the hard way. It's like, there's got to be a way to do something. You know, if you want a caregiver, then obviously you can use an app. So we used it for the first time and we found a caregiver. And, you know, you don't know. Sometimes, you know, you're just trying this for the first time. And the caregiver came and we left the kid and then went somewhere and then we came back. And when we came back, so we say to the caregiver, that was it, everything was fine. And we say, thank you so much for doing this, we appreciate it. It's our first time actually doing this, so we didn't know what it's going to be like. And he said, hey, I know she's from, you know, she's in like elderly, not very old, elderly, maybe, I don't know, elder, I don't want to estimate. But she has four kids, the youngest is 19 and the oldest is 33, so yeah, you get the point. She's from originally from East Europe, right? She's been here for many, many years. So she said, hey, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, go ahead. And she said, are you guys Christians? I said, yeah, we are Christians. Why did you ask? She says, yeah. I just kind of like knew because when I came here, this is her words. My wife can tell you, she's in the back. There was just a different atmosphere and there was a certain presence in this home. And it was just different. You know, she's been to many, many homes being a caregiver. But she says, when I came to this home, there was just something different. I thought she was going to say, you know what, there's that picture. We don't have a lot of Christian pictures. We just have a small little Hoffman head of Christ. And that's about it. But she says, I just felt good. And you know what, I thought she was going to say, you know what, thank you so much. You know, I can go. And she was sitting there just fellowshipping. She was just having a good time. She didn't want to go. She said, this is nice. You know, she's just. And I said, well, are you a Christian? She says, yeah. You know, she mentioned a certain church. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to go out. I'll let you fellowship with my wife. I need to go and grab something. But it just blessed my heart that sometimes we take things for granted. But we as Christians, God has given us his presence. And by that presence, the world can feel it. The world can be touched by that. You may not say anything, you may not do something, but people should realize that this is a Christian. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to go through trials. We go through trials, just like Israel. They went through trials and tribulation, but you know what? God's presence was with them. Doesn't mean that, you know, we always agree in our family. We have our own disagreements. We have our you know, equal share of trials and crosses. But in all those things, we love the Lord. And God's presence lives with us. Now, then that is what we must have also as a body of Christ. Sinners should come here and say, you know what? There's a presence at Hickory Bible Tabernacle. When I stepped in, something happened to me. And this one we have to hit at home. We must create such an atmosphere at home and church that young people can receive the Holy Ghost where they are sitting there. And I believe that 100%. We can create in the presence of God. Sometimes you don't even need to lay hands. Somebody just coming to church, they can just be healed, not knowing what happened to them. Brother Branham talks about that in the third pool, that there was a little tent. People would just go in, and then they would go out healed without anybody laying their hands. What is that? That's the presence of God. And that's what we want in this day and hour. We can have wonderful coffee machines. We can have good sports and games. But you know what? If the presence of God is not with us, we are wasting our time. What made us a beautiful nation was the presence of God. What makes us beautiful as a church, as a group of people, is the presence of God. It's not what we are driving, what we have, where we vacation. It's the presence of Almighty God. That's what makes a difference. And what is holding this world from becoming chaotic? It's because the Holy Ghost is still here. And the Bible says, he that letteth shall let until he be taken out of the way. And as soon as the presence of God is taken out of the way, then chaos reigns upon this earth. Then every city will be like Southside Chicago. Every place would be like, I don't know, downtown Harlem or something like that. But those things can't happen because God's presence is with us. But we must be conscious of his presence. Because there was a man who was a Roman soldier. He wasn't even aware that he was talking to the King of Kings. So he was in the presence of God, but he was not aware of his presence. So having the presence of God without you being aware of it also won't help you. So you must have the presence of God, and you must be conscious of that presence. That's how God can help you. Amen. The prophet says, when man sinned, he crossed the chasm between him and God and left. There's no way back at all, but God, rich in mercy, accepted a substitute. So in other words, the prophet is saying, when people sinned, there was a chasm. We could not fellowship with God. In other words, we lost the presence of God. Because Adam and Eve, they left the garden. Because the garden was the place where God would come and dwell. And that's where the seat of God is, right? You can call it the mercy seat or whatever you want to call it. But this is what God lost. Adam lost. Man lost the presence of Almighty God. And that's why the psalmist is saying, if we abide in the shadow of Almighty, if we abide in the secret place of the Most High, we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be afraid of the pestilence. We don't have to be afraid of the fowler. We don't have to be afraid of anything. As long as we know that, you know what, we are in the presence of God, then we are fine. Amen. The prophet says, next morning when I woke up, he's telling a story. I'll paraphrase it for you. He woke up in the morning, and then in the room there was a demon, and this demon was accusing him. And the demon was saying, "Yo, brother, we have no power with God." And he said, "I was going to wake up my wife, but I thought she will freak out because of this demon." And the prophet says, and says it looked like alley hoop. I said, meet her, honey. And she didn't wake up. Praise God, she didn't wake up. And I thought, yeah, that would scare her to death. I waited just for a minute and stand and watch. And after a while, he was accusing me. And this is where our depression comes from. This is where our anxiety comes from. This is where all the mind battles comes from. It's when these demons come, Satan, and he begins to accuse. And that spirit has never died. Matter of fact, it has metastasized to where they have created websites. They are still accusing Brother Branham up to now. They accused our Lord. They accused me. They accused you. They accused our Lord Jesus. He said, you are a man, you are calling yourself God. And therefore we're going to crucify you. Because Satan is the accuser of brethren. And he was saying, you have no power with God. You are just a bluff. You have no power. You see, the spirit, the demon was calling Brother Branham a bluff. And everybody who has backslidden, they catch the spirit. Oh, the message is just a bluff. I said, Satan, you are an offense to me. Get out of my way in the name of Jesus Christ. And he left. I laid there a little bit in bed, started to raise up. I felt a real sweet feeling come over me. I thought, wonder if that is the Holy Spirit now is close. And over in the corner, so help me, here is the Bible in my heart. The sweetest voice I ever heard in my life said, don't fear to go anywhere and don't fear to do anything. For the never failing presence of Jesus Christ is with you wherever you go. Amen. So the presence of God was not too far. But the Satan was there as well. So you see, so there was this battle between the prophet and the demon. But God was just there to see how he's going to react. And he says, get behind me, Satan. So no matter what you have done in life, never let the devil accuse you of anything. Tell him, get behind me, Satan. Christ died for me. The Lord rebukes you. And the prophet says, as soon as I did that, the Holy Ghost came. And he says, the never failing presence. I can fail. You can fail. The deacons can fail. The ministry can fail. The trustees can fail. But one thing never fails, the never failing presence of Jesus Christ. That's what we want, friends. And Cain said unto my Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this sight from the face of the earth and from thy face. Cain's problem was that God took him from his face. When you lose the face of God, you lose the presence of God. No matter what you're going to do, it's just going to be vain. So Cain's curse was actually losing the face of God. Now we speak about unclean spirits. The Bible says when unclean spirits leave a person, they go to dry places. Do you think it's dry because there's no water? I don't think unclean spirits necessarily want water. They don't drink, they're spirits. So what are dry places? What are dry places? Some people will say, oh, they go to a burning place. Well, the prophet tells us that there's no burning place before judgment. So yes, they go to a very horrible place, but it's not burning literally. So what are these dry places? These are places where God's presence is not found. Because Satan also is very religious. Satan wants to live with God's people. And the Brother Branham says, some people, the closest they will be to heaven is when they interact with you. Because what we call heaven is God's presence. If the president of America travels in my car, that becomes Air Force. No, not Air Force. It becomes the beast. If he flies, any aircraft the president is flying in is called Air Force One. Right? How many knows that? So it doesn't matter if it's this one or that one. So what changes is who is traveling in that car or aeroplane. Praise the name of the Lord. So what is heaven is where God is. If God is here today, right now, this is what heaven is. I mean, when he comes in his power, in his great presence. So what we mean by heaven is not necessarily grapes. Because you know what? You can buy an island. You can have all the grapes in the world. You can have all the wine in the world. But it's not going to be paradise. Because you know why? God is not there. So what is paradise is where the presence of God is. What makes a difference between heaven and other place is the presence of God. So these spirits, they go to dry places because there is no presence of God. Amen. So we also, as Christians, we don't want to live in dry places. This is why, you know, the prophet talks about the parable of the Bible talks about the parable of the wheat and the tares. The Bible says it was dry and they were all crying out for the what? For the rain. Both the wheat and the tares, they were crying for one thing, the rain of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. So what gives us life is God's presence. What gives us strength is God's presence. What gives us salvation is God's presence. What gives us strength to carry on is the presence of God. Friends, I can never overemphasize this. You can read all the books you can. You can watch all the videos you can. You can listen to all kinds of podcasts. But the strength comes from the presence of God. Amen. Exodus, the Bible, God said to Moses, build a sanctuary. And the reason why God wanted a sanctuary is he wanted to dwell with the people. The reason why we have this building, we have musicians, we pray before we come out, we have guitars. The reason why we have all these things is we want God's presence to dwell with us. We want God's presence to dwell with our children, with our young people, with our families. Now, the prophet says, we realize how little we are when we come in the presence of God. When Isaiah, who was a prophet, was found in the presence of God, he says, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. Because you know what? He was in God's presence. One of the reasons why you see that this nation, we have gone far from God, is how boastful we are and how big we think we are. And how great we think we are. That tells us that the presence of God has departed. Because when the presence of God abides with us, we become conscious of how insufficient we are. We become conscious of how unable we are to do anything. When God's presence is with us, we realize how much of sinners we are. We realize how much unworth we are. But when God's presence departs, we see ourselves as some great big people. We're invisible. We can do anything, you know. We are the most powerful. That's good. But guess what? The presence of God makes us humble. It makes us realize that we need him. It makes us realize we can't go another day without him. It makes us realize that we can't survive without him. It makes us realize we can never raise our children without him. We can never have successful marriages without him. We can never have a church without him. It makes us realize of our insufficiency. But today, because of the spirit of Laodicea, guess what? People say, I'm rich. I'm in need of nothing. Why? Because the presence of God has departed. And the Bible says the glory of the Lord has departed. It's called what? Ichabod. There was a dispute in the Bible. People were disputing. I'll close in the next 5-10 minutes. So that will hopefully relax some of you. People were revolting against Moses and Aaron. And I want you to catch this spirit. There are people who revolt against a prophet. That's bad. Also revolting against Aaron, the priest, the fivefold ministry, is also bad. So these people were revolting against Moses and Aaron. You know what God did? He says, okay, let's settle this matter. Let each tribe give me their rod. A stick, right? The rod. And he says, I will lay them in the presence of God. And the one that will bud is the one that I've chosen to be a priest. So Moses, Aaron's rod was in this presence of God. And the rod of Aaron budded. And God made a covenant with the house of Aaron. They were to be priests and his family were to be Levites. But I want you to know that what caused the rod of Aaron to bud was the presence of God. Aaron had his rod all these years, but it could only blossom in the presence of God. So Aaron was vindicated by coming in the presence of God. So yes, you may be seed. Yes, you may say, I believe the message. But guess what? Until you come in the presence of God, you will never bud. You will never show your colors. You will never show fruit. So when we come in the presence of God, then we can be able to show our flowers to the world. Amen. We have many of us that have got dry sticks. Many of us have got, dry experiences. Many of us have got, potentials. We've got seeds. But those seeds have to come in God's presence so that they can bring forth fruit. You can take the rod, you can put it in the water, you can put it in the sun, you can do this, you can chisel it. But until it comes in God's presence, it will never bud. Amen. The church, right now, I was reading a report. They say in the next decade or so, the church will become fewer and fewer and hundreds of churches will be closed, like what's happening in Europe. And they say unless the church evolves, the church will become extinct. And can I tell you something? The church has been here for 2,000 years. And nowhere throughout history has the church evolved. We can evolve, yes, but we'll never be able to hold people by evolving in the natural way of the world that they are thinking. Yes, there are things that we can do. We can put coffee machines in break rooms. You can do that. Mega churches are coming up with all kinds of things, which are some of them ridiculous. Like there are churches with a smoking break, right? That's insane, right? But that's their way of what evolving to keep people. But there is only one way throughout history that the church has always evolved to keep people. You know what? That is something called a revival. Every revival was the evolution of the church. The church is only one evolution. And the church actually doesn't evolve because the church does not change. Stays the same. But what changes is people. And what brings that church is a revival. And what brings the revival is the presence of God. The reason why the church is dying is because the presence has departed. Because the church has gone after money. It has gone after Hollywood. It has gone after shiny things, big buildings. But we have left the main thing, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is what saves. Christ Jesus should be the center of our worship. Christ Jesus should be the center of our admonition, should be the center of our camps, should be the center of our singing. But we have left him. And we have gone to other things. Amen. I'll read this as my last quote. The prophet says, if you want to be, I want us to read this together, right? No, you don't have to follow after me, but I want you to read this very carefully. If you want to be a blessing and get a blessing when a man has done you wrong and he has absolutely justly, I mean, he has done you wrong, you know that he has done you wrong. He's done you evil. You don't mention that. You don't take it on social media. You don't take it on WhatsApp. You don't take it on TikTok. You don't take it on Twitter. The prophet says, you take him to prayer before God. And it says, don't just take it in a selfish way to say, Lord, see what my neighbor does, has done. And say, well, I'm supposed to do this, but stand with your shoulder to his shoulder. And he says, and stand in the presence of God our Father through the way of prayer should be made in the presence of God and say, Father, he is my brother. He justly deserves punishment because he has done me evil. I don't see why he did it. Then let God go to talking to you. And you will see maybe what the man has been through. The devil has squeezed him up somewhere, caused him to do that. Though he's absolutely wrong, before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that man. You'll be sympathizing with that brother. And when you come back down to the earth here, like you are praying, you are up there. When you come back here, you go over to that brother and shake his hand. Because you know what he has been through. You can't stand with a mortal man in the presence of God and condemn anybody. You can never condemn anyone in the presence of God. When you see people condemning other people, they have lost the presence of God. When you people say we are the only ones chosen and frozen, nobody else is elect, we are the true message of the message. We are the true bride. Everybody else is lost. Everybody else doesn't have our doctrine. Everybody else that doesn't come to our church is lost. They have lost the presence of God. Because if you're in the presence of God, you can never condemn another mortal. You understand this, brother. You understand this, sister. Because you're in the presence of God. But when people begin to say, you know what, if you don't believe the seventh seal this way, or you don't believe this little doctrine, or you don't believe this personality, or you don't come to our camp, or you don't jump this way, or you don't shout this way, or you don't fall back this way, or you don't have the Holy Ghost this way, then you're not part of us. That is not the presence of God. The presence of God, you don't condemn any other mortal man in God's presence. The moment you stay in God's presence, you love other people. You respect other people. You even respect even the denominations. You hate some of their sins, but you love the people that God made. And you respect what they are trying to do. Even the unbelievers, you must respect them. You know, I have a neighbor. May God bless her heart. I was talking to my wife that today we need to buy a card and just throw it on her door. Both of my neighbors on the left and on the right, we have a wonderful relationship. And that's a blessing. God has many blessings. Having a good relationship with your neighbor, that's a blessing. Because guess what? 99% of the conflicts, they are with neighbor to neighbor. Russia, Ukraine, I mean, you name it. But it's neighbors. Palestine, Gaza, oh, most of the major conflicts is neighbors. That's why you go to some places, I won't mention names, churches, they fight to death because they are close to each other. Because whenever they are neighbors, and if God doesn't intervene, it creates a problem. That's why God says, love your neighbor. And that scripture applies to your neighbor in your subdivision, your neighbor at work, your neighbor, your wife, your husband, your neighbor at church, whatever. That scripture applies. But because we have ignored that scripture, we could have solved 99.9% of conflicts. Amen. Congo, Rwanda, tribes, different tribes fighting each other, different, you know, races, different. We can't, neighbors can't respect each other. They can't love each other. The Jews, the Samaritans, we don't talk to each other. This one, the Kurds, the Arabs, the, you know, you name them. This neighbor, may God bless her heart, she's an unbeliever, but you know what? We've tried to be respectful to them, to show kindness, not to judge them. To you know, to just be nice to them, be sweet to them. And people sense that. They can pick that. You know, when we had that boatload of snow and my wife was in the hospital, I never told them that we're having a child or anything like, because, you know, with neighbors, you just say, hello, hello, that's it. That's the American thing, right? Which is fine. So I wake up in the morning and all my driveway, the snow has been cleaned. I says, wow, must have been an angel that came. Thank you, Lord. Oh, came to find out it was my neighbor. And this is a woman, not a man. This is a woman, a suburban white lady. She cleaned my driveway. And I felt so bad. I said, as a man, I wouldn't want. I said, I appreciate you doing this, but I feel so bad. And she says, no, it's okay. No, she can't stop working. She loves to work all the time. She said, I realize you're a family man. You've got kids. You know, I thought I... But you know what? I also thought it also means that she respects us, right? I'm not taking advantage of her. I never asked her. She just did it. I just woke up and my driveway was clean. And this week, I come back. I was thinking, Lord, I want to find time to, you know, cut the grass. You know, with little kids, with work, you know. I deferred my paternity leave until maybe next month. Tax season. This is the worst time for accountants. And I slept at like 3 a.m. the previous night. I said, I need to cut my grass. I come back, the front of my yard, the grass is cut. My neighbor was cutting her grass, and she went ahead and cut the front of my grass. I said, oh, now this neighbor is just making me feel bad. I got to do something to, you know, at least repay, right? So I'm trying to come up with things like, you know, making some cards and all kinds of things. But I'm saying this to say, when you have the presence of God, you respect people, you love them, and you can have a good relationship with people, even if they drink and smoke, and they can respect you for what you stand for. Because the Holy Ghost is also a perfume. How many knows that? When they were making the anointing in the Bible, they told them, make the anointing, put these spices, and the Bible mentions that it will be a sweet savior. So the Holy Ghost is not just boisterous and, you know, judgments. It's also sweet. When people would come in the presence to be prayed for by Brother Branham, he would say, the sweet feeling that you are feeling, it's not me, it's your Lord. So we have also lost that side of the Holy Ghost, the sweetness of the Holy Ghost. The prophet says that's where the oneness failed. They got some good doctrines, but they couldn't give it out in sweetness. Everybody can say, I've got the Holy Ghost, and we can be so mean, you know, like the politicians. They are so mean to each other. I don't care that they're conservatives and liberals. They are just so mean to each other. And if that spirit gets upon you, you can become so mean to people who disagree with you. But if the Holy Ghost is upon you, you become sweet to people because you want to win them. Because even if he's a drunkard, they feel condemned by just looking at you to say, what kind of family is this? Why are these people good? They're Christians. They live their lives. They're happy. They wear long dresses. They don't get in trouble. We don't hear loud music. Say something different about these people. Because you are giving out a sweet smell of Christ. And that is what helps people. As a minister, you must have that sweet. That's how you pray for the sick. Brother Bram says, if I lose it, I have to go back to the mountain and pray. Where does it come from? It comes from staying in the presence of God. It comes from staying in prayer. It comes from coming to church, reading your Bible, being in the presence of God. Sometimes we spend so much time in the presence of men until we become so dry. We argue, we fasting, we listen to politics, and until it takes the sweetness of the Holy Ghost away. All we are left with is left wing, right wing arguments and fusses and meanness and, you know. But you also want to have the sweetness of the presence of Almighty God. And when that sweetness is there, as Brother Branham says, you can never condemn another mortal person in the presence of God. When the woman was caught in adultery, the Bible says, musicians, you can come, but the Bible says, Jesus said, he that is not without sin, let him be the first to cast the stone. And Jesus started to write on the ground. And you know what happened? One by one, they started to leave. Because you know what? They were in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, you cannot condemn another sinner. They could not take a stone to kill this woman because there was just something about being in God's presence. Remember, I told you about the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, there was no sermon that was preached to him. He was just in the presence of God. And he says, today I'm going to repay everything that I've stolen. I can give you many examples where people would just come in the meetings. Brother Branham, when he was having these meetings, he would have all the cripples. He would say, I want them to be in the forefront. Many of them would not even be laid their hands on. Just being in the presence of God. They'll just stand up and leave. I was listening today. He says there was a meeting where like six or seven crippled. They just went out. They just went and left. In perfect faith, there was a person who was crippled. And you know what? She just came and gave Brother Branham a clutches and went back. Why? Because it was the presence of God. One time, Brother Branham was in South Africa having meetings. There was such a great presence. They say, these people's testimonies, you can read them in newspapers and things. From many miles away, people could just be weeping, not knowing, why am I feeling emotional? Because the presence of God was within 40 miles. People just, that is what would bring forth all the revival, the Welsh revival, is that people just feel like, I just feel emotional. I want to go to church. Like, you know, is there a church somewhere? You know, that's what we want. We want to have that effect upon people, upon our neighbors, where people just say, yeah, you know what, I just feel like I want to go to church, you know. They may not come to your church, but they have to feel convicted because of the presence of God. In the presence of, listen. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty.
Of the King this morning. You may feel it, you may not feel it, doesn't matter, but we're in the presence of the King and His word has gone forth. Today is Brother David Mowgli's birthday. We want to remember him and pray that God will bless him, you know, as he turns 60, and that the Lord will visit him and continue to work with him. If you are here tonight, this morning, like me, I say, Lord, I want to stay in your presence. What do you show by raising your hand? Lord, I want to abide in the shadow of your wings. I want to stay in your presence. I don't want to grieve your spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the spirit whereby you are sealed. Sometimes we grieve the spirit of God out of our lives, out of our homes, out of our marriages, out of our church. We want the Holy Ghost to always abide with us. When we follow the word, we keep his presence. Heavenly Father, we raise our hands to you, Lord, this morning. We realize, oh God, that without your presence, we are nothing, Lord. We can have all the credit cards in the world. We can have all the retirement plans. We can have all the money in the bank. But without your presence, we are vulnerable. We are the most vulnerable as we can be. As you said in your word, if unless the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Lord, unless your presence goes with us, our going in and our coming out is all in vain. Lord, we are surrendering our lives to you, Father. Lord God, no matter what we are going through, whether, Lord, it's our work situations, whether it's our families, it's with our children, it's with the courtships, with all kinds of situations, Lord, we just want you, Lord, to be with us. We say, Lord, like Cleopas and his friends, abide with us, for it is evening. Lord, we know that we are living in the evening time, and the shadows are becoming shorter and shorter, and some are becoming things. Lord, time is no more. The shadows are becoming longer and longer. And Father, we want you to abide with us. When you were with the disciples, you said, I protected them. I kept them when I was with them. Father, you said that you will send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, to be with us and to comfort us and to fight for us and to be with us. Lord, you knew that we needed comfort. You knew that, Lord, we would go through trials and tribulations. And Lord, you said, because I live, you shall live also. Father, we may lose everything, but we want to have your presence. We want to have the sweetness of your spirit. Fill us, Lord. Let our cup run over with the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. We want to give the world, Lord, the living bread. We want to show our light to our neighbors, to our workmates, to different people, Father. People are hungry for Christ. People are hungry for the truth. People are walking in darkness. Lord, we want to show the light to our colleagues, to our families. Lord, wherever we go, we want to enjoy the sweetness of your presence, to walk with you daily, to know that you walk with us, beside us, inside of us. For you said,
behold, I will be with you and even in you unto the end of the ages. And you said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall ask whatsoever you want and it shall be given unto you. We thank you this morning, Lord. Be with us, O God, and bless the balance of our week. Bless, Lord Jesus Christ, your people, Lord. Young people raising their hands. Some, Lord, have questions. Some have troubles. Some have trials, oh God. Some are struggling with many things, oh God. Things that they cannot snap out of. Some are bound in chains. May your presence break those chains this morning. Lord, may you break the strongholds this morning. Whatever it may be, Lord, whatever may be binding your people, may the chains be broken. Some are not here, Father. We call upon the dry bones to live this morning. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me.
Amen. Let's continue singing. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, the
yeah. Thank you. Thank you.